What is the most powerful thing you can think of? Good morning, church family. I want you to answer that question. Think about that. You can think about that wherever you are, if you're meeting in your groups or if you're even in your living room. What is the most powerful thing that you can think of? I think of the F-18 fighter jet. I know there's maybe a few more things more powerful than that, but I think about it as it's taking off and that image of it being propelled off the runway. And like a F-18 fighter jet being shot off that carrier, that is the image I believe that we need to have of the church. And it is that we are being shot off with power by God out into this world to do what He's called us to do. And that image, if you look at that plane taking off, it is actually 300 feet from where the plane starts to the edge of the aircraft carrier. So what happens is that plane goes from 0 miles per hour all the way to 150 miles per hour in 2.5 seconds, and it is in flight, and it does all of that within 300 feet. 300 feet is the length of a football field, not including the end zones, just from goal line to goal line. So it's very short. So there's power there. And I just think that's a healthy image for us to think about when we talk about the power that is in the church, the power that is in God's people and Jesus' followers. And so I like going fast. I think it's, I just love the propulsion and that feel of that. One of the things that my wife and I like to do is we love the ride called Rock and Roller Coaster at Disney World. It's an Aerosmith themed ride, but it shoots you off from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds is powerful, and it is just fun. So that's what we're thinking about. It's what is powerful, and then there's nothing that compares to the power that you and I have in Christ. Nothing that compares to what God has given us, incomparably great power that we have in Christ to fulfill the mission that He has actually called us to fill. The main point today is this, that the Holy Spirit is the power that makes Christ following possible. The Holy Spirit is the power that makes Christ following possible. Everything that Jesus did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Conception was by the power of the Holy Spirit. The miracles He did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. His resurrection was the power of the Holy Spirit. And then He gives that power to us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. You see, I think that everyone wants to be a powerful Christian, a powerful Christ follower, someone who experiences Jesus in such a way that we know He's with us and we see Him working through our lives. We see Him working through our churches and through our small groups and micro churches. We see Him. I think we all want that. But how do we get it? That's the question. How is it that we are emboldened or empowered to do what God's called us to do? Well, it is through His Holy Spirit. Today we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, and we have several scriptures today, so you may want to write these down as we go so you can go back and read them. But Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to the first church. He is launching the church movement, what we call the church, His people, for His kingdom purposes. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. The scripture says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Jerusalem, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." That's 15 different nations, 15 different people groups right there represented, and there was many more, I'm sure, but they said they hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own language. It says, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." What's happening here? What does this mean? That's the question that the people from all of these nations and countries were asking. What does this mean? And that's the question today for us. It's a question for you. What does this mean that Christ has sent the Holy Spirit to his people? What does it mean? Jesus actually explains what it means over in chapter 1. We looked at this last week. We can read it again. It's chapter 1 of Acts, verses 4 through 8. It says, "On one occasion while he, Jesus, was eating with them, the apostles, he gave them this commandment, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the dates or the times that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" So that is actually the explanation of what is happening over in Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish festival that was sometimes called the Feast of Weeks. It started the day after Passover, and it went for 50 days. The day after Passover, the way it worked is the Jews were to bring a sheaf of grain, and they were really trusting God. It was the first fruits offering, and the whole period was a first fruits celebration, where they were trusting God for provision that he would help their crops come in. And they were actually giving the first bit to him, and they would wave it as a wave offering. At the end of the weeks, it was a week of weeks, so 7 weeks, it's 49 days. On the next day, they were to bring 2 loaves of bread from the harvest, and it was a huge celebration. This celebration is actually one of 3 celebrations that God said that people needed to come back to Jerusalem to celebrate. And so many were there because of the Passover celebration 50 days prior. They're there for the Pentecost, and that's where this crowd of people come from. And that's what we see happening here. Pentecost also got known for the time when God gave the Israelites the law on Mount Sinai. And it was come to be not only God providing for people in their food and their crops, but he also provided the law for them. And so that was a celebration not just of first fruits and him providing for them physically through their bread, but also through his written law that he gave Moses. You heard Jesus say, "It's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Those two concepts there are related, and they're related here in Pentecost as well. And it's fitting that the Father would use Pentecost as a time to send the Holy Spirit. Because in the Holy Spirit, we know that God's laws are written on our hearts. The Holy Spirit speaks and informs our consciousness and lets us know what God wants and directs us in that way. And so Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, actually says that that the people, the church of the Corinthians, is actually God's letter, that his laws were written on their hearts, not on tablets of stone. And so here you have Jesus instituting this new covenant, this new testament, and launching his kingdom people on the day of Pentecost, and he provides for them the power to do it in the Holy Spirit. This event, again, is the launching of the ecclesia. The church, we call ecclesia the church, but it is the people of God. It's this new movement that Jesus has been talking about. It is the kingdom come on earth. And so there's a few things here I want to point out about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is really what enables someone to actually be born again. And this happens two ways. One is the Holy Spirit opens up someone's mind. It opens up their heart. It helps them to hear in spiritual things. You think about the parables. It said many times that Jesus spoke in parables, and the people who were not spiritual in nature, they could not understand. They might hear a parable about the sower and the seed, but they don't understand the spiritual implications of that. They would only hear a parable about farming, if you will. But with Jesus, the Spirit opens our hearts and our minds so that we can actually understand the spiritual implications of what is being taught. Well, the same is true with being born again, is that the Holy Spirit of God opens our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so that we can see. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus tells Nicodemus that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and the Spirit. They must be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus is confused by this, and he's like, well, how can this be? And Jesus goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is like the wind in a way. You cannot see where the wind comes from or where it goes, but you can see the effects. You can see the leaves moving or the branches moving on the trees. The same way it is, someone must be born of the Spirit. You don't know where it comes from or where he goes, but you see the effects of the Holy Spirit. And so the effects of the Holy Spirit is that one can believe the message, they can hear spiritually, and they want to give their life to Christ. In Romans 8:9, Paul is talking, he says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." And so in one aspect, the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary for salvation, and it allows people to hear. But there's another way that the Holy Spirit is, his power is manifest in salvation, and that is through the sharing of the witness. That is the person who is actually sharing Christ with another person. The Holy Spirit is there enabling that person to communicate and giving them the courage and the boldness and the words to say in order to communicate. So the Holy Spirit is involved in salvation. Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14 say this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the good news of your salvation, when you believed and were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." That is, that the Holy Spirit, when one is saved, they hear the message that is spoken through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit gives the person hearing the ability to receive the message, to believe the message, and then the Holy Spirit marks that person with his own presence. We call that being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this event in Acts is when the baptism of the Holy Spirit first came to Christ's followers. And since then, the Holy Spirit comes when someone surrenders their life to Christ, trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins. And we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is a picture of being immersed in the Holy Spirit. In Acts, it says that there was a loud sound. The sound was like the sound of wind, like the sound of a tornado, if you will. There's a loud sound. It doesn't say there was actual wind, but it says the sound was like wind. And that sound engulfed everyone. It engulfed even the people in the community so much so that they would come and listen and find out what was going on. The other day I was at my house and there was this huge boom. I don't know where it came from. It might have come from Fort Knox. I don't know. But it was just massive. It shook our house. And my neighbor came out and said, "What was that?" I'm like, "I don't know. It was from a long ways away. We still don't know." But the same type of thing, it was just engulfed. And the Holy Spirit, the image here is that the Holy Spirit engulfs us. We're baptized. We're immersed in the Holy Spirit, completely covered in Him, that we have Him. We have all of Him. That's the picture of what's going on. The second point is that the Holy Spirit transforms you to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, His power, transforms you to actually be like Jesus. It's impossible for us to follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for us to do things that please God without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for us to do anything without the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit transforms you. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, it talks about this transformation. So I want to read it. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. So it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions and factions, and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, because you're in the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." See, the Spirit is what enables you to submit your life to God, to Jesus, and follow Him and surrender to Him, and not always give in to what the flesh desires. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power to change your life, power to change my life. When the Holy Spirit filled the believers, what did they do? That's the question. When the Holy Spirit filled the believers, what did they do? Well, I'll tell you what's about to happen in the next verses. We're going to look at them next week. But that is, they were able to speak with boldness with what God called them to speak. Peter's actually going to stand up and preach a message. Peter was actually afraid. Three times he denied knowing Jesus just 50 days prior to this, or 53 days prior to this. He denied knowing Jesus, but he's about to stand up and preach publicly. In the same place where they crucified Jesus, he's going to stand up, he's going to preach publicly, and 3,000 souls are going to be added to the number. 3,000 new Christ followers are going to come because he spoke in the power of the Holy Spirit. When I preach, I ask God to help me preach in the power of His Holy Spirit. The tongues, you say, well, what about tongues? We'll talk about tongues later, but just suffice it to say this, is that when Jesus came, His first coming, the Christ Messiah, He did not come as a condemner. He came as in peace. He came as a gentle king, one riding upon a donkey, one who would sacrifice himself for his people. The dove is an animal of peace. Well, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, looked like a dove. That is a symbol of peace. And it represented what Jesus' message would be, a message of peace between God and man and between man and man. Well, now you have these tongues, flaming tongues, coming down on the people, and in a similar way that the dove came down on Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, like in the image of a dove. Well, now you've got tongues, and so it represents what the mission is going to be. Why did the Holy Spirit manifest himself, give a visual image of flaming tongues? What does this event, the Holy Spirit, have to do with fire, with tongues, and with wind? Because they heard the sound of a wind. I believe it's to show that there's going to be a major expansion, like a wildfire would take off with wind. There's going to be an expansion of the gospel. They're going to be their witnesses, which is exactly what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They're going to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. It's going to spread. The gospel's going to spread. And that same gospel is the gospel we're a part of today. The same message, the same flaming tongues that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit is what we're going to be speaking. Now, it's going to manifest itself different than it did here. And again, we'll talk about that later. The last thing is that the Holy Spirit does give you the power to witness. And that's really what we've been talking about the whole time. Why does the tongues come? Because we're going to be witnesses. We're going to use our mouth to declare the praises of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. The purpose of the church is to be a witness of the glories of the greatness of God, of the peace and the forgiveness and the restoration and his righteousness. We are witnesses of that. And the way that happens is we're born again, we're transformed into Christ likeness, and he gives us the ability and the power through his Spirit to speak. And so this is how we're going to end today. I want to give you a couple of questions to think about. One is this: is it possible to be Spirit-filled, to be a Spirit-filled Christ follower, and not be a witness? Is it possible to be a Spirit-filled Christ follower and not be a witness? That's one thing to talk about. Next question is this: when the Holy Spirit entered your life, if you are a Christ follower, how did he change you? When the Holy Spirit entered your life, how did he change you? That's one question. Next question: what areas of your life are you not letting him change? There are areas in your life, there are areas in my life that still need to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, but I'm holding the Holy Spirit at arm's length. I'm ignoring his power. I'm ignoring him, and I'm choosing to remain in the flesh, choosing to remain in my own power rather than in his power. And then why? Why would I do that? Why would you do that? Why would we not want God to change us to be more like Jesus? Those are the questions for you today. And then I will finish with this one. How do you see the Holy Spirit working in your life right now? Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful for your love for us and the power that you give us through your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me for quenching your Spirit, for grieving your Spirit with the sin in my life. And Lord, I pray that you would help me submit more fully to you and surrender more fully to you and your power. I pray that for everyone who's listening and watching this and in their groups, Lord, that you would, Lord, show us the areas of our life, Lord, where we need to surrender to you. And Lord, I pray that you would show us the things that are in our heart that are keeping us from doing that. Lord, we want to be witnesses for you. And I know, Lord, you want us to be. So, Father God, I pray that we would know that we have the power. And we would embrace your power, your presence in our life, and be the people you've called us to be. Thank you so much for being a part of what's going on, church family. I look forward to seeing you guys really soon. God bless you.